I have many blessings to be a part of as a priest without having actual experience of what I'm a part of. Let me give you some examples. I have baptized many babies, but I have no children of my own. I have witnessed many marriages, but I don't have a spouse. And so, what I know about these things, I really have to say, I have to know them a little bit with some caution, because I'm relying on what I'm being told, but not on my own experience of what it's like to have children or be married. And yet, sometimes being on the outside of something and yet being a critical part of something can provide a clearer picture of what needs to be done. Here's what I mean. Sometimes in our own lives, it can be the case that we have convinced ourselves that it is going to be a certain way. So a young couple gets married. And inevitably, those of you who have been married for some time know that there will likely come a time where they will have their first big fight. Some big, difficult circumstance and situation. Now, maybe some of you are lucky and blessed and this has never happened, but most couples hit those moments where there is some really deep difficulty. And sometimes, because the perception of marriage is that if you love each other, it should be easy because you love each other, this can be seen as a moment of real crisis. Perhaps we were not meant to be married. Perhaps we've hit this difficult stage and it is clearly a sign that we shouldn't have made this commitment to each other. And yet, for those of you who have been married for some time, you know that this first real crisis or challenge, when it is worked through, becomes a way of deepening and strengthening the experience of being married and the power of a committed relationship one to another. The same can be true with children. I happen to liken being a priest without children of my own to being like a grandparent. You kind of see children at their best, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and if things start to get a little uncomfortable or unpleasant, you send them back to mom and dad. It's perfect. And if grandma or grandpa spoil the grandchildren just a little bit, okay, a lot, well, you know, that's just part of being a grandparent. It's kind of a way of righting the situation with having raised children and now having the break of seeing the great joy of your own children experiencing those things that perhaps they did when they were children through the experience of now their own children. But sometimes being able to step back is to recognize that times and circumstances are not always the same. That there is a certain amount of wisdom that can be gained from parents when they can see the wisdom of those who have been successful at raising their own children. And sometimes the greatest lessons come in the moments of the greatest challenge in raising a child. That, I think, is kind of what Jesus is getting at in today's gospel. It is good that I go. Because on the surface, it doesn't seem good that he would go. It seems much better that if we could see Jesus concretely, talk with him, engage with him, know where he was, that would be better. When something was difficult, we could, in fact, talk directly with Jesus and hear directly from him. It can feel like it would be better if he did not go. But why is it better that he goes? As we prepare for this transition between Jesus, the resurrected Christ, appearing to the disciples, and our preparation for receiving the second advocate, the Holy Spirit. Namely, it is because what we are getting ready to experience is a deeper fullness of the triune God. That yes, three persons do make one God, but they're three separate and distinct persons, and we are invited into a deeper understanding of what it means to be a triune God. I think for most of us, it can be easy to see God as a father. I don't think that that image of God is very difficult for us to grasp. It can be the case that we didn't have a very loving father or a very kind father, which can present some difficulties. But in general, we can at least understand why that's such a powerful metaphor. We can understand who Jesus is to some degree because we've got pictures of him in our mind. Even if it bears no resemblance to what he actually looked like, it helps us as we hear the stories of the gospel to have an experience that they can be real to us in our own lives. The Spirit gives us yet another example of the fullness and the richness of who God is. And so the good news, the way in which Jesus can say, "It is good that you go, that I go," is because it gives us a deeper and richer experience of God. It's also, I suspect, one of the more difficult experiences of God. Because in our own faith life, there are struggles and challenges. We don't always know what it is that God is saying to us, especially if the time we find ourselves in is in one of great suffering or difficulty, where we're experiencing some hardship, or we feel alone, or we feel that we've got this terrible illness and we don't know how it's going to turn out, or we're worried about someone in this situation or that situation. I suspect there are people all over the country of Ukraine, for example, who are wondering on some level, where is God in the midst of all of this? Or even if they have the experience of God, how are we going to get through this terrible act of violence that we ourselves did not cause? The first reading has a challenge, but it also has a warning for us as Christians. The challenge, of course, which was one of the great challenges of the early church, was what to do with those people who were experiencing the Christ, who were becoming Christians, but who were not Jewish. The early followers of Jesus were Jewish. And so it wasn't really a difficult question for them. Following Jesus did not look completely different than what they were used to. They were practicing their Jewish faith, and they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of their Jewish faith. But the Spirit was becoming active and alive and doing amazing things in those people who were not Jewish, who did not practice Jewish dietary laws, who themselves did not were not circumcised. And so the question became, well, what do we do about them? Because they didn't initially see that following Jesus would be a new expression of religion. And so there was no little discourse. We see that. In fact, it got so serious that they went far from where they were to settle the question, to figure out what should be done. What is it that we are supposed to be doing and be about in our own lives? This is the caution for us. In our own lives, we can become so attached to the one way we think things must be that, like some in the early church, we can miss the very action and activity of our God. We can cling to things in the past when God is saying to us, "See, I am doing something new." That certainly can be the case as we face some interesting days ahead in our own archdiocese with the All Things New campaign. There will be some difficult decisions. There will be hardships. There will be loss. We will have to give up some things. that we have become accustomed to. And of course, I'm speaking of we, the Archdiocese. I don't know what the plan's going to be. Nobody does at this point. But we have to hear the words of God that new things are being done by our loving God. We need to recognize in everything that we do that the real task of our faith is always to be asking ourselves, where is the Holy Spirit of God active and alive in our lives? I don't know if you've ever had conversations like this, but just imagine what might be the conversation if, with a good friend of yours, your spouse, your children, whatever, if you were to ask the question, what's God been doing in your life lately? Would you be able to answer? Would you even know what that means? Would you be someone who has looked carefully for the action of God in your own lives? Because that, I think, is what Jesus is getting at about why it's better that he goes. It's so that we can allow the Spirit of God to change the way that we see the world, so that we see the world through the eyes of faith. We see the world as the kingdom of God which is already in our midst, but is not yet fully realized. We see the world not only as it is, but as it could be if we all followed the word and the way of God completely. And so it is good that Jesus went. It is good that he was ascended to the Father, because in so doing, he helps us to see the world the way that God sees the world. And that is wisdom indeed.